Hello and welcome to another episode of the TPDL Talent Development Podcast brought to you by Double Pass. I'm your host, Sarthak Dubey, and this is a show where we talk about grassroots football, picking the brains of some of the leading experts in the field of talent development. Today's episode is all about TPDL. People want to know why we started TPDL, how we started it, and what's our vision behind it, and who better to share the experiences with me than my fellow co-founder, Rajat Baid. Rajat is someone who's got incredible experience in the corporate world, having worked at one of the leading investment banks in the world, Goldman Sachs, for 6 years. Not many people know this, but he's an expert in neuro-linguistic programming. And a lot of people should know this, that he's one of the most passionate individuals I have come across in Indian football. So Rajat, welcome to the show. How's it going, man?
Well, thank you for having me. And I must say, this podcast is really, a very exciting and engaging way to connect with the audience. I listened to the previous podcast with Ariel Jacobs, and I think it was beautifully scripted, beautifully handled. And then I think the kind of questions that you were able to get him to answer and to allow our Indian audience access to, a speaker like him is truly, I think it's wonderful. And I hope, this podcast can really continue to grow and we can have many more speakers on this podcast to share the stories of talent development around the world.
So a lot of parents, a lot of coaches, people who we've been seeing over the years at the league have been asking us of late, why did we get started with this? What's our story? What's the reason behind DPDL? And I think a lot of people want to know what is our story, what's our background, where did we come from, and how did we end up with the league here in Bangalore? So I think today's episode is based off of that, the request coming in from parents, people trying to understand more about us, our story, our background. So today's episode is about us, man, the co-founders of DPDL. So Rajat, how do you, where do we even begin, man? Where could we begin?
Yeah, it's a long story, and maybe we need to go back several years down the line when we first met, and we first met in a very different environment. It wasn't football. It wasn't kids. It was in fact in a corporate setting, working at an investment bank back in 2014, 2013 is when I think we first met. 2014 is when we first met. But there was always football in our very first discussion that sort of ignited a shared passion. And that really, build that bond. I wouldn't use the build the bond, but I would say that really, sparked the desire that we had within ourselves. And I think it's when I think about it now, almost 8 years, 8 years down the line, it's still I can still very distinctly remember when you were fresh out of college and I was already there at Goldman Sachs for about 3 to 4 years, very settled in, very comfortable with the way life was treating me. And it was this real, excitement about football that really sparked. I remember going to, and I think BFC at that time had just, they were one season in. So there was football
into the
happening
I-League. Yep.
Into the I-League. And so I remember, heading to the stadium with you and we were having some really interesting conversations about Indian football, just the teams we support and where we want to see Indian football. And that, I think, was the start, start of this journey. And everything that, we've gone through, what DPDL has gone through, how it came about, how we conceptualized it. I think it's been a beautiful journey. And maybe if you want to add a little bit about, you know, what that was from your side and what it really felt like and, you know, the moments that you remember.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the beginnings of the story, because, you know, when we were working at Goldman together, and for our listeners who don't know this, Rajat was actually my manager as well at GS for a brief period over there. So, I mean, I think apart from the corporate side, where I learned a lot just working with Rajat and building that bond on the friendship side, I think what really I remember is those BFC games that we went to together after work, sometimes on the weekends as well, where
sometimes in between work when there were 7:30 kickoffs.
I just hope I think that should stay out of GS territory, but I mean, anyways, so we were, yeah, the story really started off with visiting those games, discussing I-League, discussing Ashley Westwood and his tactics at BFC, you know, discussing the players at the time who were some of them are still around, by the way. So sitting in West Block and talking about Indian football, right? That's where our journey really began. And I think there was a time when you left me and went to London to go ahead with a certain project at GS. And then, of course, that was a time, a different experience for you. And it was around the same time where I decided to quit my job and jump into maybe studying football a little bit more. That's where I too went to the UK. Now, I think our shared passion really began at the FIFA Under 17 World Cup back in 2017, where we met once again. You know, by now you had quit your job. I had come back from the UK, and then we were once again united at the Under 17 World Cup, where, you know, this is what we had spoken about all those years, man, to see India at a World Cup, and we were there at the opener. Do you remember anything from that game, the first game in Delhi?
I remember, I think we played the US national team. Was that the opener, or was it the Colombia game?
And I think it was US first and then Colombia.
Yeah, and we lost by the narrowest margin. I think there was definitely a lot of fight that we saw, you know, by which the Indian team was out there on the pitch. There was so much support. You know, I think the stadium was jam-packed. Yeah. They had, you know, all these cool kids come in, you know, to fill up the stand. I think it was a really proud moment for us to actually see, and I know it only happened by the virtue of us hosting that tournament, but I think it was a very proud moment for the country and the football fans of the country, just to see India compete at that level. You know, you may say it was just an Under 17 World Cup, but I think regardless of what age group, when you represent your country, there is immense proud, of course, for the players, but also the supporters and the entire nation. And I think it sparked a fire that we want to do something for football in India. We want to do something that the future of Indian football is bright, is prosperous. And that's, of course, a journey that's, not an easy one. But really just watching, watching India on that stage, in that stadium, competing against a team that's, ranked several times better than India, was a great feeling, I would say. And that really was the start, you know, like you said, of us coming together and really of what came about in the years after that. It was beautiful, I thought.
Correct. That World Cup, man, I think that's the starting point of where we decided to really partner on this and really move into this, to fulfill our passion of contributing something for Indian football. And from there onwards, I remember in 2018 is when we were conceptualizing it all the way throughout 2018. When, if you remember, the first time we met Richard Hood, who's today obviously doing really well with the FCBU here in Bangalore. But I think meeting Richard was the next spark. You know, if the World Cup really ignited a spark, I think meeting Richard ignited a fire. And you know, I think he really inspired us. Yeah.
Correct. And Richard at that time was the head of youth development at All India Football Federation. And I remember we sort of put an entire 60-page presentation about developing, you know, a talent development ecosystem, starting off with Bangalore, the area we were most familiar with.
Yeah.
And us going into, in fact, we met him at a Starbucks, if I'm not wrong.
I think it was a CCD. It was a CCD in Indiranagar.
And that meeting lasted about 60 to 90 minutes. And I think we were very fortunate because Richard already had a few people who had spoken to him about doing similar things, competitions. The concept of Baby League was, you know, just about coming up at that time. There were a couple of them, you know, I think there was one in Meghalaya that was happening at that time. Maybe a smaller one in Maharashtra as well.
In Mumbai.
But nothing that Bangalore, you know, Bangalore had at that moment. And he introduced us to, you know, a few folks. And that's where our first real experience of, you know, organizing a competition came about.
I think that's where we learned. That's where we learned the trade, you know, just Richard connecting us to the right people and us taking the project forward with them. It's the first time we really got into executing the vision that we had. You know, for us, it was never about just organizing leagues, right? That's the important point here. For us, it was about building a larger ecosystem. It was about building something which is like a development pathway, you know, where kids can climb their way through this pathway and really dream of playing either for the nation or dream of playing professional football. That was really the vision. And I think the meetings with Richard, the experience we got working at another grassroots league really started this journey that, hey, maybe you and I can do this as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think about that same time, Double Pass happened. And with all the learnings, you know, that were happening simultaneously, just not about, I think, executing the league, but the things that we learned around talent development, things that we learned around how to run clubs and academies better, or, you know, how to improve players, how to improve coaches. So there was so much happening at that time. And I think it's always a learning process. I think we're still learning even today. But I think all of those things, you know, coming together at the same time was, I think it was, you know, opportunity that, you know, while we were not fully ready, I would say, but, you know, it was something that we really wanted to, you know, wanted to put our feet, you know, feet under and really explore the waters. And, you know, and looking back at it now, I think it's been a marvelous ride. And, you know, I hope that the work that, you know, DPDL has started in Bangalore can grow multifolds and, you know, grow into other cities of the country. And we can really create this platform and a pathway where not only kids are coming in, week out, but a culture of, you know, a football culture can be developed that engages parents, engages coaches, engages federations, and really brings the entire ecosystem together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, just before we jump into the starting of DPDL, right, the first seeds that were sown for DPDL, I think doing that league in 2018 before DPDL, where we were really learning how to do things and building a network as well. Do you have any memories from that? Because I have a few for sure. But I think that's where we first realized that, you know, this whole ecosystem that we're trying to build, it's not just about the kids. It's also about the parents. You know, I felt like the parents were a bigger stakeholder in this than the kids themselves.
Absolutely. And I have very, very clear memories of, you know, a few incidents that took place. A lot of them were good, actually. Some not so good. But I think what we realized is, you know, like you said, it wasn't just about the kids. Kids obviously were an integral part of it because that's who we were focusing on. But then there were parents, there were coaches, there were referees. And when all of these stakeholders are together, you know, in a common place, there can be tensions that arise. And that's the nature of sport. And sometimes it can be very difficult to manage that. But I think over the years, I think we've learned some invaluable lessons about how to deal with that in the most effective manner. And I think another big learning, I would say, is, You know, we weren't just getting them together. I think we were also, in a way, educating all of these stakeholders in a certain way, be it the parents, you know, what is the best behavior that they need to put on when their children are performing, when their teams are performing, you know, referees, how do you sort of, you know, resolve conflicts? How do you deal with parents on the touchline screaming? So it was very challenging, I would say. There were some very challenging situations that we dealt with. I obviously won't get into the specific ones, but I think we've seen them.
I want to get into the specifics of one incident, because I think it's important for people to realize the pressures that we go through when we're organizing matches. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And this is pre-DPDL, by the way. This did not happen at DPDL. But at the league that Rajit and I were representing and working before this, there was a moment where I was on pitch one and you were on pitch two, right? And I wrapped up the matches here, you know, did all the operational closing stuff, you know, and then I was walking towards pitch two. And I see that the players are on the pitch, the referees are on the pitch, but the match is not happening. And there's like a crowd of 20, 25 people in the corner. And I'm looking for you. I don't know where you are. And then, you know, coming onto pitch two, I see that you were right in the middle of that, you know, 20 of those 25, 30 parents who had gathered around, and you were right in the middle, you know, and of course it was, we obviously won't get into the details of what had happened there. Of course, there were some disagreements between the referees and the coaches, and the parents decided to, you know, jump in and stop the match there. But, you know, these are situations where you can't plan for it. These things happen and you have to manage them in the best way. So yeah, for people who do visit our league, yeah, these are some of the pressures that we have to deal with. So be nice.
Yeah. In fact, I think how it started off was, I think there was a goal that was disallowed. And that's really what sparked the incident. And then things escalated from there. And then, you know, how, you know, when, you know, sometimes things are not going right, you'd sort of use, you try to bring in other things. So there was, you know, allegations of aid cheating that came about. There were a lot of other allegations that, was brought into that conversation. And I think from that particular experience, I think we've learned a great deal about how to handle such situations. And I think parents, because we've got parents who are frequent to the league, year after year. And I've seen tremendous improvement in behavior, from parents. I've seen tremendous improvement in behavior from the coaches, from the referees as well, the way they interact with players, the way they interact with coaches, the way they interact with parents. So I definitely see a lot of improvements that are happening on that front. And I think it's an ever-learning process, you know, because sometimes in the heat of the moment, things can spiral out of hand, but it's important how you control those emotions at that moment and really go about things. But yes, it is certainly not an easy job, handling these different stakeholders at the same time.
Correct. No, I don't think you could have put it any better, man. Because, you know, when... like you said, these were learnings for us. These were things that we, you know, took on board and really planned for when we were planning for DPDL. You know, how can we avoid these kind of situations? How can we educate the parents? How can we educate the coaches? How can we educate even the referees? You know, because at this level, when you're working with 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, it's not about flashing red cards and yellow cards. It's actually about really educating those kids on what they did wrong and why they shouldn't do it. So even the role of a referee is actually very different at the grassroots level. So it's about soaking in these things and really putting together, our baby almost, we can call it DPDL, right? And I think that's where it all started off. Of course, we had this wonderful connection with Belgium, with Double Pass coming on board to support this project. And yeah, I think that's where it started off. So do you remember the first, of course, we went through a lot of challenges just setting this out together, because this is an unknown territory almost that we were entering on our own before we had support, but this is now for the first time on our own. Do you remember any particular challenges onboarding teams, man? Do you remember that? How was that process?
I wouldn't say a particular challenge, because there were several challenges. I think first of all, I think what we have to what we had to consider back then was this whole concept of competition, whole concept of games. It was pretty unknown that you would want your academy kids to come in and play for 6 or 7 months in a season every weekend. Now, for everyone's, for some context setting, usually how the cycle works, at the academy level, in our grassroots setup is where kids usually, school Monday to Friday, some do training sessions in evenings, but primarily trainings, are happening on the weekends. Obviously the culture of, match day was missing at that time. So I think just changing the mindset of academies from, you train on the weekdays and you prepare and, you play the game on the weekend. I think that was the biggest challenge. And to do that over a period of 6 months, week in, week out, I think was even bigger challenge because everybody had to change their entire program around it, their training cycle, how they would, work with the different age groups that they have. Some of these academies that, play in the league have almost 100, 150 kids. So, imagine working out an entire schedule, revising the entire training schedule can be a challenge. And I think we saw a lot of pushback on that front to begin with, definitely. So I think that was one. The other big challenge that I probably can think about was just, the entire organization, from the academy's perspective, how do you bring all the kids together on the pitch? Because all of them live in different parts of the city, and you have a time that you need to make sure, you're present at the venue to be in time for your game. So just the kind of effort it took to convince academies to go back and convince the parents from their side. I remember there were specific academies where we held sessions with parents directly. We spoke about why this league is important, what's the benefit for you and how we can really make this work. It was definitely a challenge, but I think once we were past, that initial conversation and we had buy-in from a few teams, we saw that it was accepted and they understood that why this is so important for them, competition. And I think we can speak a little bit about the importance of competition and how that's a missing piece today in our ecosystem. But really, the buy-in from the academies was definitely one of the biggest challenges that we had to overcome at the start of this journey.
Yeah, man. When I think of this, when I think of it now, the academies actually, to convince them and for them to change their mindset, especially the ones who trusted us and came on board with us, kudos to them, man, to think about it now. At that moment, to really revamp their entire training structure, this would affect their commercials as well at some point. But I think many of them saw the long-term vision here that we were trying to convince people of, that you definitely need your training sessions, but at the end of it, you need to implement that. You need an outlet into a match environment, into a competitive environment. And it's really not about winning or losing in that match environment. It's about the learnings that come out of it. That was the most important thing. And convincing parents, convincing academies. I don't know how many kilometers we would have driven all over Bangalore, meeting parents, meeting academies, distributing brochures, distributing pamphlets, having workshops with parents and really making them understand why this is so important and how our league could be, the next big thing for them to participate in. So I agree. That was definitely the first challenge. And like you said, once these few academies were on board, and I mean, some of them were pretty big academies as well, who had to change things around for us. So, kudos to them for coming on board. And they've obviously stuck around with us even now in season two. So it's great to build this community together. And that was step one, really convincing them. And moving on from there. Yeah.
I would just add one more point maybe. It wasn't just about the football, I think. And if you take a step back and think about what we were doing, getting, 300-400 kids in a particular venue, over a period of 4-5 hours, that many parents at the same time coming together. It was really, a platform where kids were interacting with each other, parents were interacting with each other. So it was beyond football, I would say. It was, it sort of became like a festival, a weekend festival, where everyone wanted to come together and have a good time. Obviously, football was the main focus area, but I think a lot of things happened just with the social interactions between players, between parents, between the community. So there's a lot of community building that was happening, and I think that's what really was motivating parents and kids to come back, week after week after week, and I think that's something that's very important, and that's something that we want to provide a lot of importance to, because we know, football, not every kid is going to make it professionally, but it's about the learnings. It's about the different environments that we're exposing these kids to, so that they can learn and really make the most out of their sporting experience.
Correct. Correct. And just thinking about the other, fears that we had before the league started, I think one predominant fear that we had was, how are these super big academies going to compete against the lesser known ones? There were a lot of grassroots academies popping up who really wanted to participate and make a case for themselves in the league. We had a lot of teams in hotspots in Bangalore, such as Austin Town as well, who were coming on board. Austin Town was a club I remember that had never even played on AstroTurf. They only train on a mud ground in the Nandan grounds here in Bangalore, in the Austin Town area. And just thinking about what the repercussions could be, because if the score lines go upwards, let's say double digits, what could that have an impact? What kind of an impact that could have on kids, on coaches, on the community itself? So, managing and just thinking about those things. But I think everything played out really well. The start was, what do you remember about the start, the opening day? Do you remember that?
Well, the opening day, I mean, again, for the audience, the way they see it is, everyone coming in, playing their games and going back out. But the kind of work that goes in, first of all, the logistics, all the different stakeholders, communication with them, be it the referees, be it the partners, be it the venue, all the cleaning that goes into it, all the signage work that needs to be installed at the venue. So there's so much to it. I know we had a few dignitaries who'd been invited. So, managing with them, the press, so there were a whole lot of things. And I still recall we made an entire checklist of things that we wanted to sort of tick off, as we got closer to the date. But till the end, you always had something, out of the checklist that kept popping up.
I don't think till today we've checked off that checklist completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's ever growing, checklist, as we grow bigger and larger. But I think if I just go back to the football side of it, and the example that you took about Austin Town, about some of the lesser known, academies that took part in the league, at the beginning of the season, in the first few weeks, I think we saw there was a clear, there was a stark difference in, I wouldn't use the word quality, but just in terms of the technical ability of, the kids that had been training for a long time versus kids that were still starting out and weren't really exposed to a match setting. But as the season, went along, we saw significant improvement. We saw that technical ability reducing week by week. In fact, if I remember that example of BFC, who were the champions in that particular season, how they were kept to a 0-0 draw towards the end of the season by by an apartment team, really, and I think that really tells you how much how much competition can really help in development of skills, both technically, tactically, mentally, so we saw all of those things come out, through the season, just the way we saw, improvements within all the players individually and collectively as a team as well.
Yeah. I remember the same. I remember exactly the same thing, man. every single team, irrespective of whether they were a big academy, a small academy, a team like Austin Town that's coming from one of the hotspots of Bangalore football, or an apartment team as well. You know, in their own space, in their own little way, everyone was improving, everyone was learning something or the other. So you were mentioning about that story of pristine kickers and BFC, and, you know, holding them to a nil-nil draw. I feel like that story, that match, really summarizes the essence of DPDL, you know, what we were trying to achieve. The very fact that every team has different reasons to participate. Some of them are extremely good in terms of technical ability, in quality, in game sense. The others are not so good. They're still learning, right? And they're still wanting to improve. And it's about bringing these ideologies together and seeing what really comes out on the pitch. And that match really summarized it for me. You know, the fact that this team, BFC, actually went on to win the under 11 title, and they had players who are some of the biggest names in Bangalore youth football today. You know, the likes of Sehajveer, the likes of Rayul, you know, these kids were absolutely battering teams left, right, center in the lead up to this game. Right. And a team like Pristine Kickers, which is, you know, our good friend Mark Mascarenhas, who got this team into the league. Mark, obviously being a former India goalkeeper, he knows how the business works. And, you know, he knew the quality of his players, no disrespect to any of them. Right. He knew the quality that he's coming up against. Right. And the very fact that he had analyzed this and he came up with a game plan, right, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's, you know, whether parking the bus is a good thing or not, it's not about getting into that. But the very fact that he learned something throughout the season and he knew the quality that he's coming up against, and he decided, okay, I'm going to defend for my life in this team. I'm going to make it so difficult for BFC that they cannot score. Of course, that thinking and the commitment that his players who were his players showed, you know, the fact that they held them to a nil-nil draw at halftime was an achievement in itself. You know, I felt like, okay, people are learning from this, and that's the most important thing. Of course, the result of the game doesn't matter. BFC, obviously, keeping in mind their quality, even on the physical side, they were a lot better. And I think at some point that got to Pristine Kickers, and they ultimately ended up losing the game by a few goals. But I could see the coach of BFC, the star players of BFC, they were a bit confused, you know, what to do. And this was the very learning of DPDL, that even a team like BFC should prepare for such situations where, you know, they will come up against teams in their professional career where they have to break them down. And what better way to start learning that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that day, BFC really had to work hard to get those points. And I think, and again, that game, I think, is a true testament to what we're trying to achieve at DPDL, where regardless of, you know, your technical ability, you know, the level of football that you're currently playing at, the progression and the improvement that we've seen in these kids, again, not just individually, but collectively as a team, has been, I think, just phenomenal. And I think, you know, when moments like those happen, we really feel proud about, you know, and very satisfied about the work that we are doing. And I think that's just one of those great, you know, things you can look back and be proud about.
Absolutely. And Mark Mascarenhas, if you're listening to this podcast, we miss you this season. And we hope you bring your team again into DPDL next season. Yeah, just thought Mark should know this. Right. Yeah, so I think apart from that, the other moments that really stood out for me, and especially this part, you know, the fact that it doesn't matter whether you're winning, whether you're losing, it's the friendships that you make, it's the camaraderie that you share with your teammates, with your opponents, you know, learning to deal with losses, learning to deal with victories as well, not really, you know, going overboard after winning, because knowing that, hey, this is a long season. One week you'll win and 1 week you'll lose. I think those ups and downs for a 7-year-old, for a 9-year-old to learn that, to take that as an experience, something that'll stay with them all their lives, you know, when they look back at it.
Yeah. You know, this while you said that, there's one particular story that, you know, again, comes to mind. And it's about these two kids who are not from Bangalore originally. And they traveled, so they live in Mysore. That's about 140, 150 kilometers. It's a 4 to 5 hour bus ride, 3 to 4 hour train ride to, you know, from between Bangalore and Mysore. And they would do that, you know, along with the coach from Mysore, would come along with them. And they sort of enrolled into an academy here just to participate in this league. I think that was a phenomenal story in itself.
Absolutely.
Where Saturday early morning, they leave from Mysore, get here just in time for the match day, and then spend the entire weekend in Bangalore training with the academy as well, and then get back. And then to do that over and, you know, week after week after week, I think that's, you know, just incredible. You know, the incredible commitment and
incredible commitment. Yeah. From the parents, from the kids themselves, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy because you've got school again on Monday morning. So
absolutely. And I remember the likes of Austin Town as a team when they started off, right? This was a team that had, like I mentioned, never trained on AstroTurf, they'd never even played on it. They just had trained on the normal mud ground, and you know, their coaches really learning from this tournament was very heartening to see as well. Again, for them also, it was not about the results. It was about adapting to conditions that they're not familiar with, which is an AstroTurf. Adapting to conditions such as, you know, playing with teams that they've probably never come up against, but they still have to grind out results. They still have to put up a show. And you know, I could see their coaches really linking their training sessions to the matches. You know, that was ultimately the objective that we wanted as well. That no matter what you're doing throughout the week, there needs to have, you know, some connection with the game. You know, what is it that you learned from the previous game? You know, and how you cannot repeat those mistakes. Keeping in mind there's a new opponent coming, what would you want to improve on? I really saw many teams doing this, and Austin Town was one example, because we knew the coaches and we could see the training sessions that they were putting on as well. So yeah, I think that was something very interesting that came out from the first season as well.
And the fact that they won the under 14 age group, I think that again, the raw talent that they had, and the fact that they worked together for, you know, over a period of 6 to 8 months, again, was, you know, evident on the pitch, evident with their performances. And I think the biggest, satisfying moment about that Austin Town story for me is the fact that, that's an area probably who would not have the opportunity to play with some of those teams simply from where they come from, right? But the fact that, you know, they were able to compete with them, on that same pitch, and I think more of those stories are really inspiring for, you know, other such areas within the city where they can come and compete with the likes of BFCs and the likes of BCFCs, BBFS, who are more established academies within the city. So just the fact that they got to compete with them, on that pitch, and the opportunity for the players, I think there was added incentive, motivation for them to come and perform. But I think that's really the sense of, DPTL.
Absolutely. And I think something that we really stuck to was, you know, having that adaptability as league organizers. You know, while we had to look at the overall vision and make sure that is being adhered to, but at the end of the day, we were also managing the operations of the league, and we couldn't forget that. Do you remember any moments operationally where we were put under stress, and do you want to share something with the audience about the operational challenges that we faced as organizers?
I think they're far and plenty, but I think it's the basics, it's the small things that sometimes you sort of tend to overlook. I mean, just making sure, you know, we had, lunch available for the referees on time, making sure they had a, you know, they had something to drink during that scorching heat, things basic as that, making sure there's, the toilets remain clean, the games start on time, and there are so many of such things, that have to be absolutely spot on time, and to manage that again, not just for a few weeks, but over a period of 8 months. I think we were very fortunate with the team that we had. Every member of the team contributed to make sure that just all the aspects of the league were perfect, and we didn't really provide opportunities to anyone to point fingers or complain about certain things. So I think we were very lucky and blessed to have a great team that supported the entire operations, and I think we've also learned through that with SOPs in place now, how to be more efficient and how to be more effective in creating the right atmosphere and experience for everybody, at the league, and then again, it's not just at the leagues, it's the things that happen before match days, the fixture management, the results, updating everything onto the app, so a lot of things that needs to, work seamlessly for everything to, for everything to be smooth and appear smooth on the outside.
True. It was 6 months of, constantly being alert, constantly being flexible, and being, being rigid in certain things as well, because if we can't be too flexible as league organizers, otherwise, the whole show can collapse. So I think as we got into the knockout stage, I remember the first season was very competitive. We could clearly see out of, let's say in the under 11, age category, there were a total of 16 teams that took part, and we could clearly see there are 8 or 9 of them that were almost on similar terms in terms of quality, and the other 8 as well, when we grouped them together, the fact that they were not as good as the first 8, but they managed to compete against one another and really get more quality competition out, was something that stood out for me as well. And as we got into the knockout rounds, I remember the story of this this one child whose parents had moved to Delhi, right? They had shifted base, and the child also moved with them just after the last league round. And it was, the quarterfinals were starting next week. And I remember this kid and his parents, they took a flight from Delhi to come back and to play the match, to play the quarterfinals, and that itself actually moved me. The fact that the parents have shifted, they've moved out, and they still had the commitment and they could see the child's passion as well. The child was an integral member of the team. He didn't want to miss out on the opportunity, and the fact that he took a flight, he came back, and then we met his parents. I remember both of us were shocked, like, that someone could actually do this for our league, and it meant a lot.
Absolutely, it was very touching and very inspiring to to see that kind of commitment. To play, but also to contribute to your team, the friendships that, the bond that they have to get the team. And I think, that was a very special moment that we witnessed, during the knockout rounds.
And if that parent is listening in today, hopefully we can very soon see you in Delhi as DPDL knocks on your doors over there, and hope to see the child play in DPDL in the national capital itself.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think from the same team, there was another story where one of the kids had injured his foot just in the last league round, and he decided to still show up in a wheelchair. He broke his foot, right? And he showed up in a wheelchair. He was there all along on the sidelines, cheering his team on. A very touching moment, if you remember that.
And it wasn't 1 week. I think it was for 7 weeks, because I think he was out for about 4 to 5 weeks. But yeah, every match day, during those 4 to 5 weeks, he was there. He was there before time. And I remember him having a pep talk with some of his players, motivating them, cheering them on from the sidelines. And again, a very, very touching story that we got to experience, at the league. That, you are part of a team, and even though you're not on the pitch, how you support your teammates, I think that's a very valuable lesson, that everybody had the opportunity to witness firsthand.
True. Let's talk about the final day, right? I think there's one academy that really stood out, and we should mention them because they were one of the most successful teams in the city in terms of winning the DPDL age groups as well. They were super professional. You know, we used to see them always on time. You know, always well prepared with the whole team that's supporting. And the team that we're talking about is the Lions, BCFC, right? They went on to reach all three finals, under 7, under 9, under 11, and they managed to win 2 out of 3. What do you remember from BCFC's journey? Because it was a solid one throughout the season.
Yeah. So when you say BCFC, the first thing that strikes me is Orange Army. Like, the entire field was orange. The kids were orange in color. And I think what was most fascinating is the kind of turnout that we saw from parents at BCFC. I think we had, you know, twice as many parents, you know, for every match week who showed up. So I think that was phenomenal, the support that they had from parents and the kind of involvement the parents had showed throughout those 6 months. And I think even the level of understanding, you know, of the parents, you know, based on some of my interactions with them, I think there were some very nice conversations that I had with a lot of parents from BCFC, simply regarding, you know, one, obviously football, but also things, you know, outside football, about school, about, you know, just generally about parenting, about things that they're doing. You know, they were very well behaved. And I think it's just, you know, it felt like a family, you know, it wasn't just, you know, a team coming and playing football. It felt like a family coming together and really having a great time supporting the kids. You know, the kind of improvement that we saw in them, you know, throughout those 6 months, again, was phenomenal. But it was really the entire, you know, the environment of, you know, of how they did everything really stood out for me. And I think that's something that's exceptional and not, you know, not many academies, you know, can say that about themselves.
Absolutely. And they went on to win 2 out of 3 trophies. Of course, the third trophy was also quite a, you know, quite an interesting match, which obviously...
It was by the narrowest of the margin, right? It took a spectacular goal to decide that one. So
Correct. That goal went viral. That's one video of ours that we're very proud of that's gone viral. And if you do follow us on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, do go and check out that goal. Still, it's one of the best goals that I have seen live. And to be scored by a 10-year-old, amazing, absolutely amazing. But I think what I remember on that final day, of course, the whole place had turned orange, and of course there were BFC parents as well who were cheering on. There were MRUFC parents who had reached the final of the under 7 and lost on penalties. I mean, even that story was so touching. Do you remember MRUFC?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think again the work ethic that they showed throughout those 6 months, and the fact that they took part in every age group, I think that spoke volumes. Again, not a lot of clubs, you know, can say that about participation. The fact that they fielded a team in every age group, I think, is amazing. The kind of kids that they were able to, you know, get onto the pitch, and again, the quality that they sort of displayed throughout those 6 months was, I think, top notch. They probably weren't one of the known academies at the start of the league, and I think by the time they finished, everybody in the Bangalore circuit knew about them. You know, and I think that's a great story in itself. You know, very enthusiastic parents, very enthusiastic coach, and I think they bought a lot of energy, you know, to DPDL.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate they're not playing in the under 8 and under 10 at the moment, but I hope we can have them, you know, for the youth leagues this season.
I think do you remember this moment where during the finals, the under 7s, which is the little ones, the absolute babies of MRUFC, you know, 6-year-old kids taking part in the finals for the first time, and their under 16 team was there to cheer them on the sidelines with every penalty, with every pass. You know, these guys were like fanatics, you know, fanatics behind the under 7s. And that was so touching to see that the under 16s are supporting the under 7s in this competition. And it was just one moment for sure that stood out for me out of many moments on that final day.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, just
truly, it was great. To call.
And just, you know, closing,
sorry, go on.
The closing ceremony itself. I know, you know, just remembering the time when the kids got hold of their medals, you know, we gave medals to every single kid that participated, you know, irrespective of whether you won, you lost, where you finished in the league table, you deserved a medal because you were committed and you stayed for that long in the season and learned so much. So it was obviously kudos to all the kids who took part. But I remember when the league finished and one of the parents walked up to us and said, you know, Sarthak, Rajat, great job. For us, weekends is DPDL. You know, weekends, it's DPDL for us. So we don't know what we're going to do next week. Just that one line, you know, really gave us, it boosted our confidence. It gave us, there was a lot of gratitude in that moment as well, where we really, you know, it's the relationship that we had built over a period of time with the parents that was, you know, coming out there. I remember feeling so motivated for, you know, ever since that moment happened, to go ahead and work harder for making DPDL a success.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most satisfying moments, if I can call it that. The fact that the work that we did was recognized, acknowledged. I remember a parent asking, what are we going to do the following weekend now, you know? And in fact, we started receiving queries just after we finished the league. When are we starting again? And that's how much, you know, they enjoyed coming onto the pitch every week. I think that's something that we can truly be proud of. And I hope, and I know the last 2 years have been difficult with COVID, you know, with, and I think grassroots and youth football being affected the most. It was very disturbing in a way, not being able to get kids on the pitch, but I hope that's, you know, that's behind us now. And very soon, you know, we can have regular footballs on the weekend, and not just in Bangalore, but, you know, throughout the country, for that matter.
Absolutely, man. Couldn't have put it better. And yeah, with that, I think that pretty much summarizes what we've done up till now. But it's not the end of the journey, right? I feel the journey has just begun. The very fact that we are able to build this ecosystem, this is step one, right? Now it's about taking this to other cities, scaling this, making our operations more efficient, more effective, you know, making sure that this is a professional experience for everyone that's involved, you know, continuing to do the good work, whether that's for the parents, for the kids, for the coaches, the referees, the partners, the vendors, everybody who comes and works with us and plays in our league. I think it's important to keep this good work going and really expanding this. Now, obviously, our plans are to take this to other cities to make sure that the same experience that we piloted here in Bangalore is given to Mumbai, is given to New Delhi, it's given to Chennai, it's given to the northeast of India, you know, places like Guwahati, places like Manipur, Mizoram, Meghalaya, Calcutta, Goa, Kerala. You know, there's so many states that we've got big, big plans for. And hopefully we can expand and kind of build this overall ecosystem that we had envisioned back at the under 17 World Cup when we first met to start this plan.
Absolutely. And I think, what we have to, or what we want to call out for our audience is we don't want to be just organizing competitions, or just getting them to come and play on the weekends. I think DPDL is, you know, far, far, far beyond that. It's about development of an ecosystem, like you put, and that ecosystem involves coaches, because we're not just having kids come and play on every week. We're also having coaches come and coach every week, you know. We're having parents come in every week. So it's about educating the parents and about the role that they can play, in their child's sporting journey. It's about working with the clubs and academies that participate with the expertise that Double Pass has to offer in terms of, you know, talent development and all the aspects that makes an academy successful. So the vision of DPDL is to really, you know, create a culture of football in the country where kids play every week, but at the same time, you know, improve the standards of the football ecosystem that today, you know, are not as competent and not as developed as some of the other nations. And I really hope that we can achieve that, you know, through DPDL in the years to come.
Absolutely. And before we end this podcast, I think I just want to give a special mention to our team who actually makes sure that this show goes on, right? Rahul, who works day and night behind the scenes, you know, making sure that the operations, the business aspect of the league is running. We've got Anand behind the scene as well, who is working so hard. You know, we've got our creative design team. That's Karthik Handa sitting in Delhi. And we've got Arpit sitting in Delhi as well, who's working so hard on the marketing and social media side. So just want to mention these guys because it's really, it's the entire team that makes DPDL happen. And our idea is to expand. It's to make sure that we do good work and contribute to the growth of Indian football. So yeah, with that, we, any closing words, Rajat, anything you'd like to say?
I think there's another very, you know, important people that we need to thank is the State Association in Karnataka, first of all, who've, you know, given us the opportunity to, you know, conduct these leagues, to, you know, sort of, so we've been very lucky to work very closely with them, and the support that we've got to them, you know, I think they're very development driven, and that work, you know, is clearly, again, you know, shown with the work that we've been able to do, because it can be a challenge sometimes, you know, in our country, if you don't, you know, if you're not supported by them. So again, big thank you to them. Big thank you to the referees. You know, it's a difficult job to come out, you know, on a Saturday, on a Sunday. Some of them, you know, don't even actually have a second job. They have a full-time job and they do this on the weekends. So to take that time out, you know, in the heat, very difficult again. So big thanks to them. And again, everyone, you know, who's been part of the DPDL journey, who supported us, you know, throughout the very beginning, you know, a big thank you to all of you, without who, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And with that, we come to the end of today's podcast. Rajat, I thank you, man. I thank you for everything. I couldn't have found a better partner to start this journey with. And yeah, man, I hope we can continue growing from this and taking Indian football forward.
Yeah, the pleasure has been all mine. You know, and I'm very grateful again for meeting you, for having the opportunity to work on this together. And I hope, you know, DPDL can grow leaps and bounds from here, and can really help Indian football, you know, in the way that, you know, we can be proud of, you know, celebrating years from now that, you know, we've helped, you know, players come up through the ranks. We've given them the platform. And I think, you know, the goal remains to put Indian football on the world stage. And I hope we can achieve that or contribute, you know, to that in whatever way, you know, that we are able to through this.
Excellently put. I think you summarized it perfectly there. So thanks again, man, Rajat. Thank you for joining the DPDL Talent Development Podcast brought to you by Double Pass. And see you next time with another leading expert in the show. Thank you and goodbye. Thanks for listening in. So much to learn and so much to absorb from that episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Catch us again on the DPDL Talent Development Podcast as we bring to you another episode with a leading expert. Until then, we'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or shoot us an email at developmentleague@doublepass.com. That's developmentleague@doublepass.com. Take care and see you next time.